Hey everybody, it's Levi here in Tokyo, Japan. It's a real joy to be able to share God's word with you today and to be able to worship together across this weird space-time continuum thing we've got going on. You probably know we're looking at the theme of the Holy Spirit at the moment, and today we're looking at the kind of the idea or the question of being anointed with the Spirit. So just to say at the start, a kind of quick disclaimer slash encouragement, is that there's no way in 15 minutes that I can cover everything there is to be said about being anointed with the Holy Spirit. And I can't get into all the richness of the details of this passage. So I really want to encourage you to take the time to wrestle with this theme, these ideas about the Holy Spirit. As Peter mentioned a few weeks ago, it's really important that we're people who are moving always from religion to reality. We don't want to be people who are stuck just kind of with some knowledge of God, able to tick off boxes or whatever. We want to be people who have a real living relationship with Him, who walk with the Holy Spirit. So I would add my recommendation to that book, The Forgotten God by Francis Chan, and there are many other great books, resources, videos, etc. that you can find. So please do take time to think through this stuff, to wrestle with it, talk to Peter or the other leaders. But let's today look at this idea of being anointed with the Spirit. Before we get to chapter 10 of Acts, our passage today, we're going to look very quickly at the beginning of the book of Acts to get the context for what is going on in this story. So if you turn or flick or twizzle or twist or whatever people do with Bibles nowadays to Acts chapter 1. And at the beginning of Acts, we have Jesus here, who now he's died, he's been crucified, he's risen from the grave, and he's speaking now with his disciples, sharing with them about the kingdom of God. And then in verse 6, it says one day they gathered around Jesus and they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus replies to them, "It is not for you to know the dates or times the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So this now is the setup for the book of Acts. And we see in the kind of following chapters that this is exactly what happens. In chapter 2 at Pentecost, the Spirit comes on the disciples. They proclaim Jesus as the risen Messiah. And all these Jews who have gathered in from different countries, so many of them believe. And then the church starts to grow. And there are problems, there is kind of challenges from outside and inside, opposition and different things happening, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, the church keeps going and keeps growing. And then they do indeed reach the areas of Judea and Samaria. And the gospel keeps going out, and church keeps growing. And then in chapter 10, we have this man Cornelius, who's a centurion, he's a Gentile, he's what's known as a God-fearer, which means he doesn't belong to the people of Israel, but he worships in his own way God. He gives money, says here, to those in need, and he prays. He's seeking after God, but in some ways he's considered still to be outside the kingdom of God. But then what happens in chapter 10 is that, kind of through angels and visions and things, that God arranges for Peter to go and visit Cornelius at his house. And Cornelius knows this is happening, and he's brought his family and his friends together. And Peter arrives and explains to Cornelius that, you know, as a Jew, I'm not really meant to be hanging out with you Gentiles, but God has shown me that I need to come to you. And then we get to today's passage. And we're going to look at three characters in the story and what we learn from them about what it means to be anointed with the Spirit. So first we'll look at Cornelius, then we'll look at Peter, and finally we'll look at Jesus. And hopefully we'll see how being anointed with the Spirit has implications for us here today. So first, Cornelius. Well, for Cornelius, being anointed with the Spirit means salvation. It means that he now belongs to the kingdom of God. We see this if we look at the end of that passage, the end of chapter 10. So Peter has been explained to them the good news of who Jesus is, that there is forgiveness of sins in his name. And then verse 44 says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Just probably worth saying at this point a few words about this idea of speaking in tongues. Depending on your translation, it might say speaking in other languages. I think for here that's a much better translation. Again, you can speak to Peter or the other church leaders about this. To very quickly give my own personal opinion based on my study of the scriptures, I think that praying in tongues in the sense of a kind of angelic language is a gift of the Holy Spirit that still exists today, and it's a good thing for Christians to seek that gift. But I do not think that is what is happening here. There's a few reasons for that, but the main one is actually because I think what we're seeing here is a repeat or even a next stage on a progression from Pentecost. So if you turn back with me to chapter 2, you may remember at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on the disciples. There were all these people from different areas gathered around. And then the apostles, the disciples, they start speaking, start praising God. And it says in chapter 2, verse 6, a crowd came together in bewilderment. Bewilderment, by the way, isn't that a great word? We should use the word bewilderment more. Anyway, each one heard that their own language had been spoken. And in verse 11, they kind of list all these languages, and it says, "We hear them declaring the oneness of God in our own tongues," or again, in our own languages. So at Pentecost, you had the apostles, and they were praising God, speaking of the oneness of God. And those listening heard the oneness of God being spoken in their own language. And so they knew something is happening here. It was a sign to them that the people speaking were anointed with the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 10, we have, it's not quite the opposite, I think maybe it's the next step from that. That here we have Peter and other disciples, and they are the ones who are hearing now, Gentiles, non-Jews, and the Gentiles are the ones who are praising God in their own language. And so when Peter and the other disciples hear this, they know that this is a sign that they have been, that these Gentiles, Cornelius and his family and friends, that they have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. They are praising God in their own languages. They're praising God from their heart. And this is their response to hearing the good news. And so when Peter sees that, actually their response to hearing the news that Jesus has been crucified for their sins and that they can be forgiven, the response to that is an overflow of praise from their heart. Peter knows that this means that they have been anointed with the Spirit, brought into the kingdom, and that they need now to be baptized as that outward sign that they belong to the people of God. So for Cornelius and his family and his friends, being anointed with the Spirit meant salvation, meant that they belonged to the kingdom of God. But what about for Peter? Well, for Peter, actually I think it means sanctification. It means that he is becoming more like the Lord Jesus. Look with me at verse 34, chapter 10, verse 34. It says, "Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism." And I want to say, really, Peter? Now? Like, you now realize. Like, now. This is Peter who has been with Jesus since the very beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth. He's seen Jesus healing those who were considered to be outcast of society, bringing them in. He's seen him speaking with a Samaritan woman at the well. He's seen him healing lepers and all those who were considered to be unclean and outside. This is Peter who's experienced that after he actually denied knowing Jesus 3 times, pretty much to his face, that Jesus still forgave him. And this is Peter who received the command from Jesus to go and make disciples of all the nations, to go and be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And now Peter understands that God doesn't show favoritism? Like, seriously, Peter, what? But actually, as kind of shocked as I am at Peter here, I mean, not surprised because it's Peter, right? But I mean, I praise God for Peter because that's what I'm like. And maybe you can kind of empathize as well with Peter here, that yeah, he's been anointed with the Holy Spirit right at the beginning of Acts, and this has now been not just weeks but months, maybe years up to this point. And there are still things in Peter's heart that need to change. There are still sins kind of hidden in there. There are still parts of the culture that he's just absorbed without questioning. There are still kind of systemic problems that need to be addressed in the way that he does things. And the Holy Spirit is being patient and persistent in working in Peter's heart to change him, to help him to see things that he hasn't seen before, areas where he needs to change and repent and grow. The Holy Spirit came on Peter at the beginning of Acts, and he has been now working in Peter's heart, continuing, and he will continue to do so because Peter still hasn't made it at this point. But he will continue to work so that being anointed for Peter doesn't just mean salvation, being brought into the kingdom, but it means sanctification, being made more and more like the King Jesus who he follows. So that's Cornelius and that's Peter. What about Jesus? Well, Peter mentions Jesus, unsurprisingly, in his explanation of the gospel. And he mentions, verse 38, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. And we can read much more about what that looked like in the book of Luke, which was the kind of prequel to Acts, or rather, I guess, Acts is the sequel to Luke. In Luke chapter 4, we have the story of when Jesus begins his ministry, and he goes into the synagogue, and they give him the scroll to read from. It's the scroll of Isaiah, and it says that he turns to the place where it is written. And these are the words that Jesus chose to use to describe what it was he had been anointed for. He says, "The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus was anointed for a mission to grow his kingdom. And that's the same mission that he passed on to his disciples, to Peter. It's the same mission which we have been given. And so as Jesus was anointed to grow the kingdom of God, that is the same for us today. So for us now, we have been anointed with the Spirit. If you are trusting in Jesus, that means that you have been brought into the kingdom, salvation. It means you're being made more like the Lord Jesus, sanctification. And it means that you have been empowered to live for Jesus, his mission. And I guess there's maybe a question of, well, what does that look like in reality? How do we work that out? I would suggest that maybe it looks something like this. If you live in Japan for any amount of time, I guess really, you have to get used to eating with these, the chopsticks. But if someone was to say to me, "Okay, Levi, I want to learn how to eat with chopsticks, so just tell me which one is most important? Like, which one of these two is most important?" It would be a nonsense question, right? Because if I have just the bottom one, like, it's a weird stubby claw hand. But if I have just the top one, I can wiggle it a little bit more, but again, you know, for chopsticks, you need to have both of them together. And for us, as we are anointed with the Spirit, it's the same thing. We can't just say, well, the Holy Spirit's at work, so we'll be in the corner drinking coffee and he can build the church. But we also shouldn't be like, well, you know, we're the ones on mission, so we need to hustle and work and strategize and do this. It is both. And we see this, I think, in the story, not just in Acts chapter 10, but throughout the whole of Acts. What we see is this thing of people receiving the Spirit, being anointed, and then they're relying on the Spirit, and they're responding to the Spirit. And the Spirit prompts Peter to go to Cornelius' house, and Peter responds. He goes in obedience. And then Peter is convicted of his sin and his need to grow, and that changes his understanding of what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. And he does. And he shares the gospel. And then the Holy Spirit comes on Cornelius and his family. And Peter sees that and he responds by getting them baptized. And this goes on and on and on. It's almost like a dance that as believers in Jesus, as the church, that we need to constantly be relying on the Spirit, responding to the Spirit, working and walking with the Spirit. So hopefully I'll be able to chat with some of you in the Zoom call afterwards, but for all of us, my prayer, my hope is that we would be people who more and more live out what we have been anointed to do, what we have received from God as a gift. So this week, this month, this year, may all of us continue to grow, not just in our understanding of, but in our faithfulness of walking in step with the Spirit.